It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, our Pirate Preview, UConn. And it's actually, the hard to believe, the 10th game of the season. And with me right now is obviously Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
Not much, dude. Just getting ready for the pillow fight of the week between Carolina and UConn.
You're just the daggone video game magnet, the video game Mac Daddy, the Daddy Mac. I love it, man. I love it. I tell you what, I'll get to that subject matter in a minute. Let's go to Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Good evening, guys. Hope y'all are having a good week.
Yeah. If I'm going to make a prediction right now that, folks, we're rebranding the show. If Scotty Moe doesn't go, then we're actually going to be the video game objective, and we're going to have video games all the time.
Classic video game objective.
Okay.
Only old school games.
Old school games only.
Don't deal with any of this newfangled crap.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. Hopefully we don't have to rebrand everything. That's not our objective.
80s and 90s video game chat, guys. If Scotty Montgomery stays, what we're going with.
You're not going to buy season tickets. No Pirate Club, right?
If Montgomery stays, though, I'll probably still give my Pirate Club donation to help with scholarships.
Yeah.
But I will not buy season football tickets.
Okay. I'm with you there. That's what I'm thinking, too. What about you, Bubba? Bubba's going to give as much money as he can to both.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll still be all hands on deck in terms of tickets and Pirate Club donation.
All right. Well, no doubt about it. We've got a great week, lots of good things going on. Football and basketball, they're kind of where they're intersecting, if you will. So we've got a very busy week, as Kyle and I were talking about earlier. But the good news is the basketball is doing well.
Yeah, that's another reason that I would continue my Pirate Club donation, because I am very supportive of what's going on with basketball and baseball.
Right. And all the other non-revenue sports, it comes down to, I'm telling you guys, the football is the one sport that we're look at baseball. We're talking about that. Basketball is doing well. You look at the women's soccer team did well. The volleyball team has been, they've had a tough season, I give you that. But the swim team and diving team still doing very well. You know, basically it comes down to all the teams are holding their own, but the one team that's really suffering right now is football, and that's the one that we need to be successful.
Yeah, at East Carolina, if football isn't successful, then it just puts a damper or a wet blanket, if you will, on everything.
Yeah, by the way, Bubba, I know that I'm going to put you on the spot, but Kyle and I have already discussed it, so we'll do that. But Bubba, do you have the, if you don't, we'll talk a little bit and we'll let you get to it. Do you have the release from Cecil Staten today that we're reporting this on Wednesday night? Do you have the statement he put out about Pirate football?
I do. Give me just one moment.
Okay. Well, Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on it. I want to get your take on what you think, and then we'll let Bubba read it, and then we'll discuss it more. So we'll buy him some time. So what do you think,
Kyle? I don't think you really said a damn thing. We were talking off air, and you mentioned you think you released a statement basically kind of to try to say, hey, guys, we know there's a problem, and, you know, we'll evaluate it once the season's over, and you're trying to get people to come out Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, to me, if that was the point of it, he didn't hit it head on. He should have worded things a little different to get people to try to come out anyway. I took it almost as he was telling the fans, hey, let's behave, stay in line, do what we want you to.
Don't be the lunatic fringe.
Yeah, the lunatic fringe are the ones that aren't upset.
Exactly. We need to give Mo another year.
Yeah, another year to do what?
Kyle, you know what? You're just nothing more than one of those fair weather fans for Pirate fans. That's what you are.
That's what I am. That's what 90%
of us
are,
evidently. You need to be a better Pirate.
Yeah, all true Pirates will be there Saturday night.
Yeah, and you're such an evil, mean-spirited person. You're so miserable as a person. That's exactly why
you
go on all these rants. Is that what it is?
Absolutely. Miserable. Miserable human being. That's me.
All right, guys. I got it.
Okay. We stalled enough. Okay, Bubba, go for it.
All right. Late this afternoon, I guess it's about 10 to 5, something like that, just before PRF on Pirate Radio was about to come on. They tweeted this just in. Says ECU Chancellor Cecil Staton issues statement on assessment of football program. While we are aware of the speculation concerning leadership of our football program, it would be inappropriate to address it during a time when our student athletes and coaches deserve everyone's unequivocal support. An assessment of the program will be made at the conclusion of the season. This program relies on the passion of our fan base and a commitment administratively that will enable the team to be in the best position possible to succeed with minimal distractions over the next 3 weeks.
You know what would have been a good commitment by the administration to help the team succeed? Appointing an athletic director about 6 months ago. What do y'all think?
Not a bad idea.
You like that idea, Bubba? What about you, David?
We had exactly. You, Kyle, you remember the very first podcast you came on with me. That was March.
Yeah, we had our AD candidates that night. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember our AD candidates?
And that was March.
March.
At IHOP.
At IHOP. Live from IHOP. That's right.
And
I had blueberry pancakes.
We had you had some pancakes. I remember it was very
yeah,
good.
You did too. Yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, it's IHOP.
Well, yeah. You can get burgers there.
Yes, you can. They got good food there, period. We had great service. And anyway, they should have made – what should have happened is I've told you guys that when I said it, I'll say it again. While I was out of the country, they should have named the athletic director. It seems like whenever there's breaking news or something, I'm out of the country or something happens like that.
Everything revolves around David.
Late August, by football season, we should have had an AD. Then – we had plenty of time to name an AD. Look at all the people that are coming out of the woodwork that want to be the AD of East Carolina University. See, I still say East Carolina University. I'm not ignorant, and I can pronounce it. But East Carolina University could have had an AD in place end of August, end of story, by football season. So by December 1, then you fire Montgomery. Or December 3rd, I guess it is, actually, that Monday. But it's almost 3 years to the day that Ruffin McNeil was fired. And I would ask the folks that wanted Ruffin McNeil to be fired, are we better off under Scotty Moe? I mean, how many times?
You want me to answer? You want me to answer that as one of those people who, one of the deniers, as they're starting to be called?
The Moe Mafia, yeah. You're part of the Moe Mafia. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, okay.
We
are better off. I think Ruffin, what he did is he left Scotty when, you know, we didn't have any players. He was lazy with recruiting, and he just didn't have control of the program. And, you know, Scotty's got to get his players in here. You know, he's only been here 3 years. He's only had three recruiting classes. And, you know, he needs 15 years before he'll be able to clean up this mess Ruffin made. And plus, we're playing in the American. We're playing in the American, you know, Conference USA.
Yeah, city speed.
It just ain't the same kind of conference the American is now. So, you know, that's the excuses they make, and that's how they would answer your question. I was hoping you'd do the whole podcast like that. You would do the whole podcast? All right, I'll do the whole podcast. Just like this right here.
You sound like a guy from a Family Guy. You sound like Family Guy.
Peter Griffin?
No, one of the characters. No, not Peter Griffin. Like a character, like if there was a character.
A Southern character on Family Guy?
What?
A Southern character on Family Guy?
No, but just the voice, the way you do your voice is just like something I would see Seth MacFarlane.
Okay.
You know, like,
all right.
Please.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'll take it as a compliment.
It is. I wasn't downing you. But anyway, Bubba, so do you think right now?
Bubba, do it in a Family Guy voice.
Yeah, do it in a Family Guy voice.
I don't know a Family Guy voice, though.
So. Oh, my God. Okay, next. do you think – is there any possible way – because I'm hearing people say at work, they're just trying to get me upset. that Mo is going to be back a fourth year. Any way possible.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's a way, but you would like to think not, unless, I mean, if you win these last three games, but what are the chances of that happening? I really don't think he will be. I agree with, I know Alan Thomas, he said essentially exactly how I feel listening to the fifth quarter after Saturday's ball game. That's what he said it as well as it can be said, in my opinion. Just, and I know Clip Brock agreed with him as well, and just basically looking at the finances of things and with the way attendance has fallen off and the way we've had 2,000 or 3,000 fewer season tickets sold over each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know that trend's going to continue. How much it's going to drop, who knows? But it, with the way things have gone, if we finish 2-10 or 3-9, I would definitely see that continuing.
I think it would hit rock bottom, guys. I think if they kept Montgomery, what were we 10, at this year with season tickets?
We were 10-8, right? No, 13.
Like, I think it was like 13-1, 13-2. It was at least something like that. It's at least 13-plus.
And that was with UNC coming to Greenville.
And we didn't have a sellout for UNC. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, but still that helped season ticket sales. I really think if Montgomery came back next year, we might sell 8,000 to 9,000 season tickets.
Oh, my God.
And obviously the Pirate Club donations – are going to take a dip and take a real hit as well. I really think that would be the case. And then we haven't even talked about, even if you have these announced crowds of right at 30,000 or 25,000, like it will probably be this weekend, when you have maybe not even 15,000 people actually in the stadium, just think about that. I mean, you're not even talking about having to have a sellout, but if you have 35 to 40,000 people legitimately in the stadium, then you have the potential customers there to buy concessions and merchandise and all those sorts of things that you don't have now. So I'd really like to see those numbers and just see how substantial the losses are there.
Yeah, if we get, you know, the right head coach, and I think the right head coach could be several different people, I think you'll see – it's going to take us a while to get back to 50K, but I think we can get back to that 35 to 40K, to, you know, some games over 40K, every home game. I think we can get back there pretty fast, unless we just make some ridiculous hire. If we screw, I tell you what, guys, if we screw the hire up this time, oh, my God. They really can't afford to gamble this time. They've got to go with a Mike Houston, a successful FCS coach, or they're going to have to go get an FBS coach that maybe has a little baggage, somebody like a Rich Rodriguez or Hugh Freeze. They're going to have to do something like that or get a proven FCS coach. I don't think they can afford to gamble this time.
Yeah, you're right. That's, you know, I've been talking about that because if they get – you're right, Kyle, when you talk about – if they get a big name hire, a sexy hire, that could unify the fan base.
And it doesn't even have to be a big name. Mike Houston isn't a big name, sexy hire in the national scheme,
right?
In terms of the casual fan, but good God Almighty, is he a great coach?
If you get Mike Houston, you get Steve Schenkweiler, Donnie Kirkpatrick, you get all those years of coaching. You also get Mike Houston, who is a very good coach, and he's a winner, and he knows what to do. When he comes in here, he's going to be able to get big-name recruits. Not necessarily – I'm not talking about four or five stars, but I'm talking about ones that are at least the three stars we're used to. And then a lot of the local talent will be able to do like Montgomery's done. But then – if you start getting a 9-win season in here, stuff like that, you might be able to get a 4-star, not a 4-star. I'm not talking about a whole bunch of 4-stars, but I think with Mike Houston, and he's not the only one, but the buyout for him is $700,000. But I think, for me personally, whatever we have to do, let's invest in this football program and You put, think about this. If you get $700,000, we've got donors who can pay for his buyout. They're not billionaires, but they are millionaires. Say, look, Johnny, we got to get this buyout. Write a $700,000 check. Yeah. Bam. And they send it to JMU. Check's in the mail. And then you get the normal, what we talked about, plus.
Well, you know what, David? There are ways around things, my
right.
friend. You know. Maybe JMU wants another shot at East Carolina or two. You know, maybe we agree to do something crazy. How about we agree to go do a home and home with JMU and go play at an FCS? And we got to pay that buyout. Don't like that idea?
I like the idea.
No, as far as Mike Houston's buyout, when we talked about how Scotty's buyout would be $800,000, and Dave and I were actually talking earlier off the air as far as Mike Houston's buyout and being right around the same thing. So, maybe if that's something we couldn't swing straight up, then yeah, maybe there's some way it can be worked out.
Plus, you don't have to come up with $800,000. You make payments. You don't.
Right.
Correct. You make payments when you buy out. Now, I'm not sure about when you're buying out a coach's contract from another school. I don't know. When we're paying Scotty off, yes, it's not you make payments. But if we're having to buy out Mike Houston from JMU, I'm not sure. Do you guys
know
the
answer
to that?
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure.
But to me, I don't have a problem with buying him out because he's a damn good coach. And by the way,
you get return on investment.
Right, the $700,000, the guy will bring in millions. So it's not like we're unsure, and this guy has never coached. And
no, he's a winner. He's won a national championship, played for two more, played for a national, another one at JMU, played for one at Lenore Ryan. So he's a winner.
It's not like it's unfamiliar territory. You got a guy who's from North Carolina.
Exactly.
So he's going to be able to – he's already recruiting here. It's not like you're getting a fit that would be terrible as far as – I've never heard anything bad about him as far as he's never done anything criminally or
– No, he's a great coach. Great coach, great background.
Yeah.
No baggage. Now, throw out a couple other names. Obviously, the Elon head coach, whose name I can never remember.
Kurt Cignetti.
We probably should hire him, then that way.
Got to remember his name.
Like Coach C, Coach, what's your name again, Coach?
Yeah.
I hear you interview him. I'm sorry, man. I'm really bad with names. What's your name again?
Yeah, Coach. We'll just call him Coach.
Coach Sig.
But, obviously he's another one from the FCS level. There's a guy that I've brought up before, and I know David really doesn't like him. I'm not sure, Bubba, how you feel about him. I don't remember if we talked about it, too, but sure we did. And another guy's name I can't remember. Imagine that. guy that used to be the head coach of Florida, that was the head coach of Colorado State.
Alabama.
Jim McElwain.
McElwain. Now, he has really no baggage. What happened at Florida wasn't anything. He really didn't do anything. So there's really no baggage with him. What would you more for Bubba, because David, I know for whatever reason you don't like him. What would you think of McElwain, Bubba?
I'd definitely be fine with us talking to him. I think we would be foolish to not have a proven head coach like that on our list. Why would you not? Like you said, I mean, whatever happened at Florida happened, but I don't think there's anything that would turn you off.
No baggage.
As far as we know, and of course, prior to Florida, he did a heck of a job turning around Colorado State.
Yes, he did.
And then he's also from that Nick Saban tree where he had been OC prior to getting hired out in Fort Collins.
And really did a good job in Florida up until that last year where things just went crazy. You know, he won the East two times, if memory serves me correct.
Yes. And that's the thing. He did it with largely with defense.
And then,
of course, the whole Will Grier.
Yes.
With the
– Yeah, that could have changed everything if he'd had Will. And he is very strict, too. That's another thing. You know, I think that could have been a cultural thing at Florida where he was trying to get some stuff under control because he does run a very tight ship.
Yeah, I was going to say that And Kyle, you read my mind. If you recall when we played those guys down in the swamp in 2015, that's what one of their players got a unsportsmanlike or something, a celebration penalty late in that ball game, and Jim McElwain absolutely chewed him a new one when he came to the sideline.
Yeah, he would be somebody we should definitely look at. He wouldn't be my top choice, but I do think he's a guy that if you were looking for a proven FBS head coach who wouldn't bring any baggage. I mean, what happened in Florida was he was just a cultural thing with him and them, and it just didn't work. And then there was the thing where he said his life was threatened, and Florida said there was no proof of it and accused him of lying, and that's basically why he was terminated. But that certainly is no controversial anything. You know, there's really no baggage there.
It seemed like a convenient way to pursue Dan Mullen.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was.
Well, I don't have a problem with interview. I mean, you never know. Another thing, too, that comes to mind is he definitely can win. So we won't be going 2-10 or 3-9.
David, I remember previously when we had this conversation, you didn't like the idea of him.
No, I mean, I was just saying what I was talking about, it was kind of bizarre, and maybe that's part of Florida, too, like you were saying. So I'll give him the benefit. I didn't like how that whole thing went down, but I agree that it was kind of funny how they were all in on McElwain, and then they loved him when he was winning, and then when they had that crazy year, and then all of a sudden people were turned on him really fast. I don't know. It was just kind of an odd situation. But
right.
I remember when he first got hired, brought in from Colorado State, in his initial press conference. I talked to some people that really followed college football, and they were making the comparison of him just his, not so much his coaching style or anything of that nature, but just his personality and the way he came across at the press conference, and maybe kind of Steve Spurrier-like or something. I don't know.
I like, and I like your idea, Kyle, of I like your idea of if you don't have the head coach deal, then certainly I think that Shane Beamer should get a strong look.
Yeah, if we're going to gamble on somebody that doesn't have head coaching experience, then, you know, I think Shane Beamer would be somebody to look at with his ties to the area. Obviously, famous last name, coached at Virginia Tech with his dad, coached at South Carolina, has recruited this area for years. He coached at Georgia, you know, with their recent success. And now he's at Oklahoma with Ruffin and Lincoln Riley. So obviously, you know, has ties to the program in terms of coaching with our former head coach, our former offensive coordinator. You know, I believe Ryan Doherty's down there. I believe Damon McAzoo's down there. So Beamer would be a good fit if we were going to gamble on somebody that doesn't have head coaching experience. And you would think he could put together a hell of a staff.
Yeah, I totally agree, Kyle. When you look at his pedigree, not only his experience at Virginia Tech, but since he moved on from there, like you said, or actually prior to going to Virginia Tech, and so he had been, I guess, down in Columbia with South Carolina for a time, and then had since been at Georgia, and now, like you just said, out in Norman with Oklahoma. So if we're hiring an unproven head coach, first-time head coach, then I think Shane Beamer would be a good way to go.
Yeah, for sure. I guess we have to talk about the pillow fight of the week, guys, as we play UConn this weekend. You got a one-win team versus a two-win team.
Yeah, when you take a look at this series.
Pillow fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
When you take a look at this series, this is one that began in 2014 when ECU joined the AAC. And that very first meeting, we were about a 4-touchdown favorite, Shane Carden and company, in their senior year. And we only won that ball game by about 10 points. I know Breon Allen had a touchdown run to put it away late. But then the following season, we lost up in East Hartford. And then we've won the two meetings since, in Scotty Montgomery's first year. We won 41-3 in Greenville, and last year we, of course, held on and won 41-38 after having a huge lead up in East Hartford. So that's one thing. This series is 3-1 to the Pirates, and Coach Mo could go 3-0 against UConn, and of course that would make a third of his wins against the Huskies.
Wow!
Three out of the 9 wins are UConn. Thank God for UConn.
If we win this weekend, that's pathetic. I'll tell you something interesting. An interesting thought. We opened at 18. I believe the line's down to 16. I need to check, but I'll tell you something interesting that people probably should consider when betting this game. It's going to be cold Saturday night in Greenville, and that could play into Connecticut's hands. We don't always play the best in cold weather, and obviously those boys are quite familiar with cold weather. So it'll be interesting to see if that has any, you know, effect on the game.
Like you say, Kyle, the cold weather is certainly something to keep an eye on, because down at Tulane last week, a lot had been made of the number of drops we had. So, like you said, it'll be interesting to see how we catch the football. If it's,
you know,
in the lower 40s, upper 30s on Saturday night, like it's supposed to be.
Exactly. But I don't, you know, it's one of those games. I mean, I want to win for the seniors. You want the seniors to go out with a W. They certainly haven't had enough wins, and I blame the coaches for that, not the players. So I want to get the win for the seniors and send them out on their last home game in the right way. But, you know, there's just no excitement for this game. I'm not excited. I'm not excited about the game. I'm not interested in the game, really. I mean, this is the one of the few times, maybe the only time in the history of East Carolina football where I can generally say I don't care about this game. I mean, it's sad to say that it's gotten to that point, but I just have no interest in it other than hoping the seniors go out with a win.
I'll tell you something else. I was going to say something else to keep an eye on in this matchup is just the way UConn can run the football, and they have a quarterback, and it's a dual threat, and David Pendel, and he's run for more than 1,100 yards this season. And then they have Kevin Mensah, who's right there approaching the 900 mark. So they have a running back that can actually run the football, whereas we have not. We don't have a running back that has even reached 270, if I recall correctly. I think Anthony,
well, you have to attempt to rush the ball.
Right. Right. And I was going to say, because of our just failure to even attempt to run the ball in these last 3 weeks, that certainly contributed to that. And Anthony Scott, I think he's like 268. So Holt Naylor's is far and away our leading rusher, and he's got right around 450 yards.
That's just unbelievable. As a guy that I know, Kyle, your favorite position is running backs, and if you're like me, I'm an old school guy running a defense, and that's just sad to think that Holton is the only, like, 400. You would think that it would be like Holton would have the 400, and we'd have like a back with 1,000 or 1,200 yards.
Approaching, yeah, it's ridiculous. And then to hear Montgomery allude and Tony Peterson say, you know, we really don't have a good running back or something. But, well, you recruited these guys, with the exception of Scott. And let me tell you something, Darius Penix, Anthony Scott, and Howell, they're all three talented. So it's nonsense. And part of it is scheme. Part of it is just not trying to run the ball. Part of it is the offensive line. But to put down those running backs is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, what's so funny is some of our fans are talking about, you know, other fans not supporting the players when you have the damn coaches putting down their own players.
Yeah, when I heard that comment earlier in the week, I guess it was either at the press conference or after practice.
Well, Peterson made a comment at practice. Are you talking about something Montgomery said?
Right, yeah. It was after practice, because you're correct. It was Tony Peterson. So that was – but I think Coach Mo may have said something as well. I was just baffled by the comment, because, like you said, over the last 2 or 3 weeks especially, a lot has been made as far as the injuries along the offensive line, and then all of a sudden we're talking about the running backs and how you may see somebody else in there at running back, and it's just kind of surprising.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, and then at the beginning of the year, prior to fall camp even, and during fall camp, we heard our running backs were good. We heard we had depth there. We, you know, just like we had our quarterback room is the best it's ever been. Meanwhile,
right.
Out in Pullman, Gardner Minshew is a Heisman Trophy candidate. They don't know what they're doing. It amazes me that we still have a percentage of fans that give these clowns credit. They are a freaking clown show. Anyway. Guys, you guys want to give a predicted score for the UConn game? I'm assuming everybody is thinking that the Pirates are going to get the W this week.
Yeah, when I take a look at it, something to consider with this matchup is, like I was saying a moment ago, with UConn's ability to run the football, obviously our defense has been pretty good stopping the run for the most part. Now Memphis has had some success, but outside of that Memphis game, we have been much better against the run. But it will be interesting to see how UConn plays it. David Pendel's thrown the ball much more effectively as the season's worn on because he's a freshman, just like Holton Ahlers. It'll be interesting to see how they approach it from the standpoint of keeping their atrocious defense. That's the nation's worst. That's surrendering 49 points in an unimaginable 623 yards, 331 or so of which are on the ground. So
sounds like our defense last year.
Right. Last year we gave up, I guess, 45 points. So, and then on the opposite side of things, you have our offense that, like we just mentioned, not even trying to run the ball, has had, I think, 32 carries by a running back in the last three games combined. So how much will we commit to running the ball, just like has been referenced at practice this week? Will we actually run the ball 25 or 30 times? It's going to be fun to watch.
No, I
say fun to watch, at least interesting to watch.
Yeah, it'll be a football game.
In fact, we're going to go to our we can do, first of all, let's do our practice report from Heinz Field, and let's do that right now.
This is our practice report as we went out to Heinz Field on both Tuesday and Wednesday. Of course, Tuesday is offense. Wednesday is on defense. Give you a little behind the scenes there. And it's this week is Connecticut on the clock, and certainly a big, big game for the Pirates. Both teams are 0-6. Somebody's going to win a conference game. We caught up with Coach Mo to find out how practice went on Tuesday. Let's go to that now.
How'd it go, Coach?
Another great day of practice. We got the work in because we woke up this morning. Of course, you guys saw it was raining, and then right at 7:45, the skies were able to part, so we were able to get all of our work in, which was something that's been unusual in previous years. We, you know, with this new morning schedule, we have not missed a day of practice, knock on wood, and it's been good for us, so we've been able to get a lot of good work in.
Holton do okay with his finger?
Yeah, he did good today. That was a major concern, of course, yesterday and the day before yesterday, but he took every snap. Did a really good job. They didn't see it bothering him. He told me on Sunday or Monday that he had played with broken fingers on his throwing hand, so this wasn't going to hurt him at all. I kind of shrugged it off and was worried, of course, all the way until this morning about 8:30 when I saw him go through his first team period. He's fine.
Is this a different role for your team this week as a big favorite in a game, or does it really matter?
That's the first time I've heard of it. Doesn't really matter. We still got to go out and play the game. They're going to come in wound up. We're wound up. So it's gonna be a good game.
Do you try to make it just another game, but at the same time kind of honor your seniors? How do you kind of balance that?
It's not just another game. It is senior day, and it's bigger than anything else. It's senior day. Our guys understand that. We broke it down on the seniors just now as we left, but it's senior day. That's a huge, huge deal because of everything that seniors have to endure and come through, not just in athletics, but in academics. So it's definitely senior day first and foremost.
What have guys like Garrett, Trayvon meant to you coming in and seeing them kind of stick this thing through?
We have we don't have a large senior group, you know, that have been here, that have seen a lot of things. What they've seen is a transition in a lot of the way that we treat them, the way that we are trying to get certain things done for them. They know how hard we're working to get it done. But what it means is they are, you know, guys that are going to finish everything that they start. We've even before I got here, we had lost guys, which they've told me I didn't know much about. We lost guys that were in their original class before we even got here and kept moving forward. So we've lost a lot of guys, but those guys that have made it are the guys you're going to be looking at in life that continue to fight through it and fight through it and eventually, you know, reach the goals that they have. It means a lot.
With UConn coming up this weekend, what's the focus in terms of trying to score points on them and when you look at their defense?
We got to effectively run the football. I mean, it just – you know, and we can't say that we don't have this tackle. Or we don't. That's part of it. There's no question. Injuries are a part of it. But we're going to have to be innovative. It's going to be some stuff that's going to look a little wild out there this weekend in the run game. But we've got to do whatever we've got to do to run the football, keep our defense off the field, and score points. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. One of the bright spots, certainly, of 2018, the campaign, has been Holton Aylers, the true quarterback from Greenville out of D.H. Conley. He's done great things. He's going to be a great player here. Let's go to him now talking about Senior Day and about Connecticut.
It was good. I feel fine. Y'all be all right.
You looked at the other night. It happened early in the game. Did it bother you at all?
Yeah, but I mean, I just taped it up. I mean, it didn't bother me, you know, throughout the game. I mean, it hurt a little bit, but, I mean, that's football.
How was it out there as far as everything else? I mean, does it affect you passing it at all? Is it that's your guide hand, but does it work at all like that?
No, I'm good. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm full speed. Now I'm ready to go.
You said that after the game, you kind of talked to all the seniors. Have you seen the team kind of refocus and center the effort around them this week in practice?
Yeah, we have. I mean, those guys deserve it, and we're gonna play for them because, you know, they only get one more chance to play in Dowdy-Ficklin, and they deserve to go out with a bang, with a win, and that's what we're going to do.
When you look at UConn in your mind, what do you feel like they to score points against them and be effective offensively this week?
You know, we got to run the ball. You know, it starts with running the ball. You know, we got to get – some movement up front, but, you know, we're going to do that. You know, I trust in those guys, and then in the pass game is going to come as well.
You kind of grew up probably watching Trayvon and Garrett play, you know, in high school. How much does it mean to honor those two guys and, you know, be able to be on the same field with them on Saturday?
A lot. It means a lot. It's meant a lot all season, you know, even just to practice with them. I wasn't starting. I mean, it meant a lot because, you know, like you said, you know, I've been watching them, you know, for a long time now, and those guys have mean a lot to this program. You know, obviously they've been here for a long time, but, you know, we're going to continue to play for them. It's not just them, though. I mean, we got a great group of seniors who have led and done it the right way for a long time now, and we're going to play for them.
Holton, is it different this week? You are a favorite, you know, and you've been underdogs for a lot of other games. Is there a difference in that setup?
Not really. I mean, we don't really think about it. We don't look at the numbers or anything like that. We know who we are and what we're capable of. You know, we just come out here and practice every day like it's our last day of practice.
As far as the running game is concerned, what do you guys have to do to run the football effectively against Connecticut?
I mean, just strain more up front and, you know, read the right hole as a running back and as a quarterback too. You know, so we gotta trust in those guys up front and, you know, trust in our ability to run the ball.
What would it mean for your ball club to get a win this weekend, begin to get a little bit of momentum coming into the last couple ball games here?
A lot. It'd be huge, you know, for the seniors as well. It's on Senior Day, and, you know, that means a lot to us, and we're going to do that for them. But, you know, as this team, you know, we need a lot of confidence, and a win would definitely help that.
We expect potentially a high-scoring game. They scored 50 even in a loss last week, and y'all obviously have some firepower. Do you think there'll be going to be a lot of points either way?
As an offense, you know, we always want to score a lot of points. But, no, I mean, I trust in our defense that we're going to get stops. And as an offense, like I said, you know, we expect to score a lot every single week.
Good luck to you against Connecticut on Saturday.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. One of the seniors we talked to with the media was Trayvon Brown. He actually, hard to believe, he's a senior now, but this is his last game on Saturday night. In Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, wearing that purple and gold uniform. And let's get his thoughts on his career and what it's going to mean to be a senior in his last game as a Pirate.
Spent 5 years of my life here giving these fans and this whole universe everything I got. And it just means the world. Just come out here, step out on the field one more time.
How do you think your emotions are going to handle tonight?
Probably the start of the game. Probably not even gonna be able to handle it. I've seen so many greats have the same moment, and I felt for them what they felt when it was their time to go, and it's my time to go.
Does it seem like you've only got a couple of games left to put the purple and gold on?
Yeah, it's bittersweet. I never thought this day would come. It seemed like yesterday I was a freshman coming out here doing the same thing Holton doing. Just being that big spark to the team, and now it's just like, I am that older guy, and this is my last home game, so it means everything.
In terms of being effective against UConn, what are you guys kind of focusing on this week offensively?
Just focus on being ourselves. For me, it's just coming out here playing with my brothers again. It's not even about the other team, it's about us. It's just about being a family one last time on this field in front of our fans.
What do you remember about last year's senior day? Because obviously you had a big game honoring other seniors. I mean, how much did that mean to you, and do you try to replicate that success for yourself again?
I mean, like I said, it meant everything. Just to see them guys I came in with, I just wanted to go out there and play for them just because I wanted everybody out here that's not a senior to go out there and did what I did for them, to play for me, because this is my last. I did bleed sweat and tears, all that, out here on this field for them. And I just want them to go out there and play for me.
Is there a moment or a game at Dowdy Fickell Stadium that stands out to you that you'll look back on and say it's your favorite moment?
Probably freshman year against UNC, my first start. But most likely it's just that Cincinnati game. I broke the record, but it was for them seniors. It was on senior day, and I felt like I was playing like I was a senior, because you never know when you come out here and it's a hard game. You'll never know when it's your last. And I played like it was my last because my friends I came in with grew up, and they were on their way out.
If there's any fans on the fence about showing up, what would you say to them as far as a senior, how much it would mean for those fans to show up for you in your final game?
I mean, just them seeing me grow as a person, not even as a player. I came a long way. I just want them to come greet me and just be there while I give them everything I had, because I gave them everything I had 5 years. And I just want to show them that I believe purple and gold, and I'll forever believe purple and gold.
Had a chance right after practice on Tuesday to talk to the wide receiver coach, Keith Gaither. Of course, he has Trayvon Brown and a couple seniors on the team this year. Lots of great talent at wide receiver. Great to catch up with him, and let's go to that now. Right after practice here on Tuesday, hard to believe the weather cooperated for the Pirates, and with the wide receiver coach now, Keith Gaither. Coach, big week. We got senior night coming up on Saturday night. How special is it for you?
It's extremely special. We got two seniors in my group with Trayvon Brown and Terrell Green, two great student athletes who have demonstrated a great example for some of our younger guys. We just hope to send those guys out on the winning note.
No doubt about it. We did it last year. I know last year was last year against Cincinnati. We have Connecticut this week. We got it. One thing I've noticed with not only wide receivers and running backs as well, but we've got a lot of talent at both positions. To talk about your guys, since it's the first chance we had to visit with you.
Yes, it is a talent-rich group. I start with Trayvon. Trayvon Brown is obviously a returning all-conference player, and he continues to put up big numbers in the passing game. And then you got Terrell Green, who has emerged into a solid performer during his senior year. And then you got some young guys who are emerging, guys like Tyler Snead. The last 2 weeks have put up big numbers. You got Blake Pro, you got Leroy Henley, you got Modrin Vimes. You got a number of young guys that's going to have a promising career here. So I've been fortunate to be able to coach some good young talent. And the future is bright for the receivers in the Pirate uniform.
How can we create more space for the wide receivers? I know there's times when we have obviously good opponents with a good defense, but how can we create space where we can actually have them where they can make some plays?
Well, I would look at it the other way. I look at how can the receivers create some more running rooms for the running backs, and we got to do a better job in the pass in the running game. And if you do a good job blocking on the perimeter, then it's going to open up some space in the passing game. So that's an area that we need to improve on. And I think in results, you'll see a little bit more looser coverage in the passing game. And some of that part of it, we got to get better at press releases, and we got to get better at our route running to create some separation versus the DB. So a lot of that falls back on our shoulders of the receivers.
Right. Coach, what do we have to do to beat Connecticut this week?
I think it starts with us. It starts with the offense. Take care of the football. Take care of the football. Take care of the football. All right, if we do that, we'll put up big numbers. It's always about the Pirates. I'll always look at it this way. They're all faceless opponents. If you take care of your effort, you take care of the football, you give yourself a good chance no matter who the opponent is. So whether it's UConn, University of Notre Dame, or North Carolina, we have a chance to be successful if we take care of the football and play with relentless effort.
No doubt about it. Good luck against Connecticut, and thank you so much. Glad to finally meet you.
Appreciate you. Thank you for your support.
No doubt about it. One of the best seniors we've ever had, and certainly off in this class, is Garrett McGinn, of course, from the offensive line. Had some injuries, but overall has played very, very well in his 4 years with the Pirates. We had a chance to with the media to catch up with him on Tuesday, and let's go to that now.
Point, but that was an emotional win, but it was kind of one of those things. That was my redshirt year, so I kind of didn't feel like I did it. Like, I celebrated like I did it. You know, I mean, I took credit. Like, yeah, we just beat Carolina, but one thing that really sticks out to me would definitely have to be beating State, my second career start here, and then obviously beating Carolina at home, where I was a main factor in those two games, playing every down and stuff like that. So that's very important to me. But I think one of the things that really means the most to me is games that don't have anything to do with me. So like John Spells' first career start at West Virginia, Peyton Wentz's first start, Holt Naylor's first start, teaching those young guys and seeing those faces light up, because I remember how I was when I had my first start and stuff like that. So stuff like that's pretty special to me, and it's something that I'll definitely take away from you.
How do you think you've grown as a person and a player over the past 4 years?
Tremendously. I wouldn't be the man I am today if I wasn't put through the things that I was. I truly believe that everything happens for a reason, and there's a silver lining in every situation. Whether that's a coaching change, position, or a head coach, or not winning the games you think you would, or bowl games and stuff like that, I believe that there's a silver lining between everything, and you can either look at it as a positive or a negative. And Coach Ruff used to say back in the day, a loss is only a loss if you don't learn from it. So I've taken these lessons, I've built on them as a person, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and I think I'm a better man because of it.
Thanks, Gary. Good luck to you this week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And last but not least, for Tuesday's practice, is the offensive coordinator for the Pirates. We sat in with the media as we talked to Tony Peterson, and we'll talk about the seniors, of course, about the game with Connecticut. Let's go to that now.
This week, they're a defense that's given up quite a few rushing yards, so hoping that because we're playing a little bit different personnel that pays off for us. But you know, when you're not real strong up front, you're not strong at the running back position, you know, it's tough sometimes.
Darius Penix was first on the depth chart, kind of going on that. Is there a chance for him to kind of get extra opportunities, or him to kind of break through this week?
You know, I hope so. I think any of them could break through right there. You know, they got to get rolling. They got to get hot. We got to block, get a hat on a hat up front. We got to find somebody hot and go with him, you know, as a running back. So I think we're looking at any and all running backs, and if we can get somebody going, we'll get them going and keep them in there.
Are you looking to get a little something extra cooked up to try to get the running game going?
You know what? We're going to do anything we can, and then whatever plays we got to put on the board. I mean, you know, we started off with the second play of the game last week. It was a nice little reverse play, and it should have walked in. And poor Tyler, he's a freshman, and he really tripped. He tripped and fell into the guy's knee, and they called a penalty. So we'll do whatever we got to do to get it in there, so we'll have some plays.
How has Snead gone from kind of an unknown to now a really key part of this offense in such a short time?
Well, he does his job. I mean, he studies the playbook. He knows what he's doing. He has very few, if any, MAs. He gets open and he catches the football. So he's doing that at a high level right now. So whether he's a freshman, whether he's a walk-on, I mean, I really don't care. I know he does his job and he catches the football, and that's why he's in there.
With Holden, obviously he's kind of increasing pass attempts each week, but are you happy with him throwing the ball away when the play isn't there and kind of thinks he's doing what the plays aren't there?
He probably does as well a job as any quarterback I had. He's so physical and strong, he can have guys hanging on him and still, you know, throw the football away. So he might not have a very good pass completion percentage last week, but he saved us on probably 8 sacks, so it was unbelievable there. He had one really bad play in the game. They rotated on him, he didn't see it, and he threw the post when he should have been working the field and curl flat. Freshman mistake, and he threw an interception. But other than that, he's taking care of the ball and doing a great job.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep, you guys have a good one.
Oh, you too. At Wednesday's practice, of course, defensive side of the ball, one of the seniors, of course, a JUCO transfer, Cannon Gibbs. Love that name, and let's go to him now, talking about being a senior and being a Pirate.
Level and get this W in my last game, and got to pick him.
Have you and the seniors been more vocal?
Oh, nothing's changed, man. Nothing's changed. I guess a little bit of the energy's increased, you know, but nothing's changed, man. We've been working hard all year, and we'll continue to do that even as we go into the offseason, as they carry on to the next season, man. We're just going to work. That's what we do.
You came here from junior college, but what have the last 2 years meant to you? I mean, you seem to embrace the Pirate culture and everything around here.
Yeah. I love it. I love Greenville. I've ever since my visit here, I fell in love with the people, the fans, my teammates, my coaches, everything, the staff, students, everybody. I have a good time. My teachers are awesome. I'll be a Pirate forever, man. Long way from home, but it's definitely my second home here in Greenville, North Carolina.
Well said, my man. Well said.
Certainly one of the anchors for the Pirates when it comes to the defensive side of the ball and the secondary. The backfield, if you will, is Corey Sargent. He actually has been a real trooper for the Pirates, and we had a chance to talk to him with the media. Let's do that now.
How you feel coming into this last game a little bit?
I'm excited. It's surreal, though, at the same time. These 4 years came by fast, and I'm just ready to go out there and prove that we can actually turn this program around. If not this year, we can do it next year. Or, like, just go out with a bang, really. Just put everything out on the line, no regrets.
Still got a few games left here, a chance to try to get some wins on the board, maybe get a little momentum going into next year.
Most definitely. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Go out with a win, or win out the last three, and then follow in the next year. Let the young boys do their thing.
Is there a message you're going to have to talk to the team as the game day approaches on Saturday?
Stay focused, and there's going to be a lot of commotion going on with all the seniors and families coming in, but stay focused and execute.
Corey, can you talk about your favorite memories here at Dowdy Pickle Stadium playing for the fans, or maybe some games on the road that you will always remember?
Actually, my favorite memories are being in the locker room with the players. There's a lot of characters in that locker room. Coming out here and practicing with them, all the emotions and fights and the hugs and blood, sweat, and tears that we go through every week. I love that. I'm going to miss it every day.
Yeah. It feels like you were just a freshman the other day, but now you're here a senior. How fast has it gone?
It came by really fast. It felt like yesterday I was just playing nickel, starting my first game. Now I'm corner, but senior, it went by so fast. I just gotta can't take anything for granted and play every play like it's your last.
Have the emotions hit you yet, or do you think it'll happen when you're kind of walking through the tunnel for the final time?
It probably hit me after the game, or it probably won't hit me till after NC State. So just kind of keep it in, stay positive for the younger guys, be a good role model.
Yeah, we're back. And guys, I know that we've got some great guests, don't we, Bubba, tonight?
We do. That's what we talked to Alex Putterman from the Hartford Courant, which is the beat writer for the UConn Huskies. So he came on with us in our preview, and he's nice enough to join us again now to break down this matchup this week.
Here on the Sports Objective, a big week, obviously, for both UConn and East Carolina. And we're doing our preview right now. We're going to bring in from the Hartford Courant, it's Alex Putterman. Alex, man, welcome back. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Kind of like what we thought. I know for our preview, we thought both East Carolina and UConn would be struggling. I don't think quite as maybe record-wise as much, but as they say, it is what it is. And so we want to bring you on. And I know last week, I believe, wasn't the score. I think you guys with UConn put on 50 points against SMU. So I know that you guys can score a lot. I guess if the defense has been the problem.
Yeah, the defense has been, frankly, the worst in the country. It's been really a mess. They've allowed at least 49 points in something like seven or eight games. So just stopping anybody has really been a problem, and people at UConn seem to hope that that would get better over the course of the season, but, you know, it just hasn't. SMU last week, which SMU doesn't have the most dangerous offense in the world, but they scored 8 touchdowns and 2 field goals, 62 total points, nearly 600 yards. So, yeah, UConn just really can't stop anybody, which has been a big problem. The offense kind of comes and goes, good games, bad games, but the defense is almost very consistently poor.
Well, I know with East Carolina, the defense has improved. I think the funny, ironic thing is, Alex, that for East Carolina, so far it's been the offense that's struggled this year. That's been a surprise for folks, is having a hard time scoring.
Yeah. It's so hard. You know, I was thinking about when we spoke before the season, and it's so hard in college to really know how things are gonna come together. And I think with UConn, we kind of maybe knew that defense would be a weak spot, but there was just no way of knowing it would be this much of a weak spot. But I'll say this about East Carolina. I think if they can score off anybody, it's going to be this Saturday against UConn because, you know, like I said, even Rhode Island, which is an FCS team, managed to put up 56 points against UConn. The only game where UConn kind of held the defense a little, or the opposing offense a little bit in check, was against UMass in a torrential downpour. I don't know what the weather forecast is for Saturday, but as long as the skies are clear, I think ECU is going to be able to move the ball.
I have to look. I know there's going to be about 36 degrees on Saturday night when I'm in the stands.
Oh, man. Don't say that.
I'm not going to complain because you guys are in Connecticut, so I don't know what the temperature will be on Saturday night in Connecticut, but it'll be around 36 degrees is my understanding.
Yeah, well, I'm heading down to Greenville. I was hoping it would be at least a little bit warm, but I guess not.
Well, if you learn anything about North Carolina, just always remember, if you don't like the weather, it'll change in like the next 10 minutes. That's all I'm saying, and it's true. So wanted to see as far as how is everything with Randy Edsall. I know it's his second time around, and are people patient with him being year two back, or is this like, oh, my God, did we make a mistake?
From a fan perspective, people are not patient. I get a ton of emails saying, you know, what's up with Randy Edsall? He's ruining the program. He is asking for patience. He said recently this could be a 5-year rebuilding process. He has said that his predecessors, Paul Pasqualoni and Bob Biasco, left the cupboard bare, so to speak, and that he has to rebuild the whole program. I think some people buy that, others don't. I do think the fans are getting pretty frustrated. He's now got 4 wins in nearly 2 seasons since returning. The athletic department, though, the school, I think, is, you know, hired him knowing that it was going to take some time and that it would be kind of a multi-year process. So I don't think his job is in danger or anything like that, but the fans are definitely starting to get a little bit fed up with all the losing.
I know with the fans with basketball, that has always been an issue with not being patient with winning national championships mm-hmm. with UConn. I was wondering about, is there more with football, is there more patience than basketball?
I guess there's probably a little less passion regarding football because it doesn't have the same history, but I don't know that there's more patience. I think in general, people are annoyed because, you know, as you know, UConn used to be in the Big East, and it was technically a power conference, as they say, and it felt like the program was on the right direction, and that if things kept going the right way, that maybe they'd be able to play for, you know, UConn played in the Fiesta Bowl in January 2011. The program has hit kind of a high, and I think a lot of people not only don't see the program heading in that direction now, but look at the conference, and I mean, you can talk about how, you know, UCF isn't really getting much respect, like being undefeated for the second straight year. And people just don't really see how, in this conference, with this team, maybe with this vote, in this area of the country, recruiting-wise, they don't really see how the program is ever going to get back even to where it was winning 8 or 9 games in a season.
Well, Alex, one question that comes to mind is, I had heard, I guess I'm the outsider looking in, but I know nationally that I've heard that the UConn fans, or maybe even the school, was upset because they feel like they're a Power 5 program and they're stuck mm-hmm. in like a Group of 5 conference. Is that fair?
That is definitely fair. I think that's going to have to fade at some point, to be honest with you, because with football team and even the basketball team having gone through a few bad years, I don't think the claim that UConn belongs in the ACC or something has a lot of merit today. But over the last few years, there's been no doubt. UConn fans and people in the UConn athletic department thought that UConn should have landed in a Power 5 conference when all the realignment stuff happened a few years ago, and definitely feel a little bit aggrieved that, you know, UConn is in the AAC, even though right now it's not even really like a top AAC program in anything but, you know, women's basketball and a couple other more minor sports. So I do think there's that element of the fantasy that remembers the Big East and thinks we should be back in the Big East. So, yeah, that's definitely there.
Well, I know that certainly Randy Edsall, and with basketball, do you think you guys are going to have a good year while we have you on? I know we'll have you back on when mm-hmm. it gets closer to time for our game with East Carolina, but do you think basketball is going to be really good this year?
I think basketball is going to be improved this year. There's some good talent. I think it's inevitably going to kind of be a bit of a transition year because of new coach Dan Hurley. But there's a lot of optimism around the basketball program. I think people are thinking this year they kind of get back above 500, head right back in the right direction, and then kind of plant the seed for sort of a return to prominence under Hurley in the coming years.
Well, he definitely is a tremendous coach, and I hope the fans will have patience with him because I think he can take UConn back to big heights, and certainly it's great having a conference member like UConn in basketball, and then with East Carolina, Joe Dooley is going to turn the program around. Mm-hmm. I feel like East Carolina in 2 or 3 years. I think the interesting thing is fans are more patient with Dooley because it's an interesting situation coming back to the school, kind of like Randy Edsall. But mm-hmm. it's more of a football school, so they're more willing to be patient with him, knowing that he can win, knowing how hard he has worked with the, and then they have a tremendous staff, and the recruiting has been good. How about the recruiting for UConn?
Well, when Randy was here the first time, his thing was always that he would take like 2-star recruits, and then they would develop into really great players. It wasn't that they were dominating the recruiting rankings, it was more the player development. So that has kind of been the case again, where if you go by the rankings, UConn ranked toward the bottom of the conference pretty much each of the last handful of years. However, as well as Frazier, current freshman class, I think they really believe that once he's able to get his own guys in there, that the culture is going to change and that the program is going to turn around, and I think from the first time he was here, he has earned some benefit of the doubt on that, where he at least will get a chance to see if the guys that he brings in can get the program back going in the right direction. So I would say on recruiting, it's kind of too early to really tell, too early to really judge.
That's right, and they're definitely playing so far more competitive than we've seen in the last few years. The fans are very excited. Do you have a place, before we let you go, do you have a place that you're looking at to eat on when you come down to Greenville this
week?
I
don't, but I'm taking recommendations.
What kind of food do you like?
So the one place that I heard there was a good barbecue place, and I know North Carolina barbecue is very highly regarded. Pretty much whatever.
Yeah, definitely go. There's a lot of great barbecue places, certainly. Parker's Barbecue comes to mind. That's one of the legendary places. There's a place called Moore's Barbecue. There's Sam's Jones Barbecue. Probably the biggest is between Parker's. They're open like all day long. And B's Barbecue is well known. It's like a little place, and they give out by lunchtime, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock, whenever they get out of food, they shut down. So it's one of those places you better go at 11 o'clock. Like if you get in on Friday, you better go in like really, really early, or you won't get anything to eat, no doubt about it. So,
all right, that's good to know because the game on Saturday is at 7 p.m. All of UConn's games begin at night on the road. And so I'll be looking for things to do Saturday during the day. So I appreciate that.
No doubt about it. And I hope you have a safe trip. And definitely we want to hook back up when we get closer to time with UConn. And good luck to the game on Saturday and certainly with the basketball this year. And appreciate the time. It's always fun. And we'll see how things turn out for the rest of the season for both UConn and East Carolina.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. And we're back. I know, Bubba, with the national scene, with the championships coming up, we got a great guest. I was very happy to bring back a guy from ESPN, right?
Yes, Ivan Maisel. Anybody that follows college football has probably heard of Ivan. Ivan's covered the game of college football for, I guess, probably 3 decades now. I know I remember him from my childhood when he was writing for the Dallas paper and covering the Oklahoma-Texas rivalry and when they would have big games in that southwest part of the U.S., they would kick it to him on ESPN when they were previewing those major games of the coming weekend. But then now he's a senior writer for ESPN.com, and he's also a host on the weekly, or actually I guess during football season, daily podcast discussing college football, the Campus Conversation.
Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, great to have back with us senior writer of ESPN.com, co-host of the Campus Conversation Podcast, Ivan Maisel. Thank you so much for coming back on.
My pleasure.
Want to talk about college football, and obviously one of the things, too, Army-Navy, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Want to ask you about the landscape of college football right now. Where do you see things? I know we've got the playoff coming up in a few weeks. Where do you think things are going to go?
Well, you know, it certainly looks as if everything will go through Tuscaloosa. That might be a bit of an upset if it actually does. Strange things tend to happen at the end of the season in college football. But you know, if Alabama stays healthy, and in particular if either of its top two quarterbacks stay healthy, which they haven't done such a great job of right now, then clearly things will have to go through Tuscaloosa.
No doubt about it. They seem to be head and shoulders above everybody. Do you think there's a upset brewing for maybe a Pitt beating, say, a Clemson in the – I know there's still some college football there for the ACC to play, but say Pitt plays Clemson, do you think they can match up against Clemson?
No.
I don't either, but I just wanted to – you're the expert, not me.
I mean, you know, Pitt has done a great job, much like Northwestern, of overcoming some early season issues and going through the opponents they know, as opposed to having problems with the ones they didn't. But I think Clemson is too explosive on offense, and Pitt is struggling too much on defense for the Panthers to have a chance to upset Clemson.
No doubt about it. I wanted to ask you about, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, how do you feel about their chances? I know they have a big game this week against Syracuse, I think, again at Yankee Stadium.
Yes. Yeah. No. That's the beauty. One of the most fun things about this sport is that games become big games that you didn't expect, and that's a great example. Syracuse is as highly ranked as it's been in 20 years, and I think they've got a puncher's chance of beating Notre Dame, but. Again, as we were saying with Pitt, I just don't think the Syracuse defense is, at the end of the day, can slow down Notre Dame enough to win the game. And then Notre Dame's got USC, and strange things certainly have happened in that rivalry, but USC is in such disarray right now, even though the game's in LA, I don't foresee Notre Dame losing, and if they're 12-0, then they'll go to the playoff.
They look like they are on their way, and the ultimate four spot seems to be the one with the playoff. It seems like that's the big mystery one. Do you think Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, do you think they're going to punch their ticket? I know they still have Ohio State and the Big Ten championship, so it may be a little bit premature for us to go ahead and give them the nod.
Well, it's all premature, but that's the fun of it. I think Michigan is. I think Michigan is the best of the remaining teams. I think they are the fourth best team, and they might be better than four. But you can't put them ahead of Notre Dame. They lost to them.
Right.
I really like how Michigan has progressed over the season. Shea Patterson seems to have gotten more comfortable, and more important, the depth that they have developed on defense has just been remarkable. That's as good a defense, I think, I think it's the best defense in the country, and it's probably as good as any outside of Tuscaloosa in the last few years.
As far as one question I have, being that our East Carolina is an American, UCF is, I know at the poll this week, they're 11, and a lot of people don't expect them to get anywhere close, even with all the craziness that would happen. It would take a lot for them to even get close, not even to four, but How does a UCF, a team from the Group of Five, will they ever make the college football playoff?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult because it's a catch 22. You know, they don't play a good enough schedule, and the teams that would make that schedule good enough won't play them. But that's just kind of the way things are right now, and it's very easy to sit here and say that, and I understand it's frustrating and disappointing to UCF people, but you know, this is the system we have, and I understand that the Group of Five teams always seem to win in the big bowl game they make, but they've got a lot more incentive to be in those games.
Right.
You know, I don't think UCF defense is good enough for them to be competitive against one of the top four teams.
And one thing that comes to mind too, when you were talking about the schedule, I'm trying to convince one of my co-hosts here, Kyle. He and I disagree on tough schedules or, you know, a little bit of easy schedule. But when you're a Group of Five team and you want to have that miracle season, you've got to put in some tough teams in there. If you have an easy schedule, the committee now is kind of like the basketball committee with the top 25 with basketball, and you see all through the year. And then when you get to the tournament, with March Madness with the teams, and then some of the teams are left out and they wonder why they're left out. It's because of the resume, right? Isn't that a big deal now for the resume for college football for the playoff?
Well, sure it is. And, you know, UCF has been, as I understand it, they don't want to play road games without getting a home game in return. And that's just not going to happen. You know, that's not fair, but, you know, again, that doesn't matter. You know, if they want to play those teams, they're going to have to go on the road and play them and beat them. And if they do that, then they will reap the reward. And, you know, we saw Houston almost pull it off a couple of years ago, but they faltered late in the year. And, you know, it's hard to go 12-0, and the beauty of playing in a top conference is that you don't have to go 12-0, but they're not in a top conference, you know.
Right.
So they've got to go 12-0, and they got to play better teams.
What does it take for the American, speaking of the conference, what does it take for them to – I know Mike Oresko is trying really hard with a Power 6 campaign. How do they get to that status to be a power league?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. You know, it comes down to if they were in TV markets that would earn them the kind of money that they could be at the table with the Power Fives, then it would be Power Six. But historically, those markets have not shown they can command the viewers that the networks will spend that kind of money.
Right.
And, you know, that's just, as we say where I grew up, that's just business. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, just because you say you're Power Six, you got to have the resources and the ratings to back it up, and they don't have them. And you know, I think the American plays a better brand of football than the other four, and I think the programs are stronger than the other four leagues. But that's, you know, those were, if you look at the teams that are in the American, those were the teams that were on the edge of the Power Five conferences, and the line had to be drawn somewhere.
Right. And so they're just going to have to basically win on the field and obviously schedule the games against the big boys and beat them to have a chance at ever even hoping of. And that's probably going to be down the line. Ivan Maisel, senior writer at ESPN.com and co-host of the Campus Conversation Podcast, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you maybe before the playoffs.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we're going to go now, guys, speaking of wrapping up, let's talk predictions, and we'll put this podcast to bed.
Go first. Yeah.
Okay, Kyle?
As I said earlier, now I finally get to give the score. I tried to jump the gun earlier, but I'm going to go. I don't think we're going to cover. I do think we'll win. I'm going to go East Carolina 38, UConn 24. Bubba?
Okay. That's what I agree with you, Kyle, that I do think the Pirates will manage to pull out the win, but I do not think we'll cover. So I think that I'll say ECU 41, UConn 31.
David. And for me, I think, let's see, I've been thinking, I think they're not going to take Connecticut with a point, and I'll go East Carolina 38, Connecticut 28. We get the W, but we don't, we definitely don't cover. That's what I'm, all right. Well, I guess that's it for our preview. In fact, I want to thank all our great guests, Ivan Maisel, and also Alex Putterman. And we also want to thank everybody from practice. Good luck to the seniors for senior night. I'll be there, Bubba and Kyle. And guys, appreciate it very much. For Bubba Rosenbaum and Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.